I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Goo, I love you. You're like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with Goo.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You really are in a good mood.
Dude, and this is one of Jay-Z's best songs ever. He says this, I'm the Mariano of the Marriott. If you get it, Kid Stuck.
I get it.
Yeah, he's a closer. I got to say something before we get to business.
It's all you, man.
So Thursday, we had the crossover, and Dibs is my guy, my mentor. Shout out, Dibs. But Joey Chestnut won the hot dog eating contest again. Shocker. And I got to throw this to you because I was looking for you for help.
The overhit. You can bet on anything.
But this is where I'm going, partner, and I need your help. Eating hot dogs is not a sport. You don't get a scholarship for eating dogs. Athletics, you lose weight, not gain weight. And Dib said it was a sport. What says you, Evan? Eating a hot dog is not a sport.
It's hard. It's not a sport. It's not a sport.
My man, early.
We also saw something yesterday that's also not a sport. Cornhole.
Now,
cornhole
is not
a sport.
The form, Evan? Okay. They turned me out on it, Evan. The form.
Anything that you can play while double fisting Pacificos is not a sport. Cornhole, people play it all 4th of July weekend because it's the one thing that you can have fun. Is beer pong a sport? Is die a sport? What's the game you play with quarters? Is quarters a sport? You cannot call everything a sport. Sports are reserved for athletes. And I'm with you.
Okay.
Hot dog eating ain't a sport.
Thank you.
Neither is cornhole.
I'm mad at you, but there is some form to cornhole.
Well, there's form to golf, and I think that's borderline. Golf is borderline. Because you can play it as a senior citizen. And I'm very happy for those
now,
that can.
Now, hey, watch your mouth, young man.
Well,
you got a lot of ageism popping off early. Have you said something about golfers?
Yeah.
If you're 70 and you can do it, I'm snitching, Ken. He said, if you're 70 and you can do it, it's not a sport.
You better be careful.
Whoa.
Fred Couples has been in the Masters for the last 80 years.
Evan,
is he still alive?
They're coming for you.
He's still going.
Yeah.
I know. They're going to come down my road.
All right. You agree. You have my back. Stoney, take another day off.
Well, that's why cornhole, it was so disrespectful what happened yesterday because there's a real sport that goes on during the weekend. It's called baseball. And cornhole, the championships, I don't know what they call them now on ESPN 8.
Yeah.
It postponed the All-Star announcements by 10 minutes.
Oh,
on ESPN. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm with you. And I was watching that like, they're really going to finish this thing out before we find out if the Giants got 3 All-Stars, baby.
They did. And at least the pitchers came first. So you found that out quite quickly. No position players. Which you had a problem with?
No, I was asking because last year Ramos made the All-Star game.
He did.
And I was just saying when you look at this team now with their new bat and Chapman coming back, take it 2 or 3, they needed to get healthy. Even over the weekend, they got healthy at Sutter Health. Yeah, that's off the top.
I give you 3.
But I'll just say this. You kind of want more and be greedy. You would like one of your All-Stars to be a position player too. That's all. And I know you can't get 900 in. But you got 3 pitchers, your bullpen's filthy, and we thought, and I know Willard had mentioned, I'll remind him today, you know, middle relief, they kind of get shunned, you know, in the All-Star game, their selections. But Rodriguez, he was deserving, he got it. But I was just looking around every day, you kind of want that to change. And I know there's a lot of snubs, we talked about it early, but maybe next year you can get some pitching and an everyday player or players.
Well, you use the word deserve, and I agree. You deserve to make an All-Star game. Ramos didn't deserve it.
Mm.
Just like, and actually, it's funny. We're talking about the Warriors in the first segment, and I'm thinking about like what they deserve based on the decisions that they've made, and they kind of deserve the situation they put themselves in. Like they deserve to be in a holding pattern because they have not been able to figure out one young player for 4 years, and he's jammed up just about everything. Like the conveyor belt is stuck. You got a wrench. at the very beginning of this thing that doesn't allow you to get any item down to the packaging when you can't wrap it up, you can't ship it out, you can't get it to the people that need what they want. The conveyor belt for the Warriors is stuck. And right now, the item that's sitting at the top, just waiting for either the Warriors to push it down or to do it itself, it's Kuminga. And do they deserve this situation that they're in? Yeah, I think they kind of do.
That's interesting. I'm not mad at you, but I will say this, because we mentioned the departure or departures. Looney and everybody scoffed at it, I believe, in regard to not putting up the red light, in regard to the red siren, like there's trouble brewing here. I think a lot of people, fans, take it for granted. But what he does and what he can do needs to be replaced. And if you feel like Al Horford can do some of those job descriptions, okay, so be it. Hopefully he's announced. And, Evan, I thought about that long and hard real quick. I do and would prefer Al Horford to be a Warrior, because at this point, you know, you don't got much to choose from. But I will say this. If you're telling me or asking me, have the Warriors gotten better, and Jonathan Kuminga at this juncture, let's just say a week or two, this keeps going on, and then they lose him, now to me, you coming back with no Looney, Kuminga, and possibly Gary Payton II, I don't think you can just count on the rookies and the addition of Horford and say, nothing to see here. So just me, the guru computer, if it's about being a player for next year and it's about talent, I think there's no way right now, Evan, you could say night-night to Jonathan Kuminga, and that's why I'm in here politicking. Get him a one-year deal, get his services in here, and let's make this thing work to the best of our capabilities and go out there, make it to the first round, win game one, and hope one of our OGs, especially Steph, the hammy doesn't go.
Well, I don't think you can get rid of him because, like, let's be honest. Okay. If he walked or he traded him for, let's say that the Sacramento Kings offer.
Nasty, Evan.
That's a disastrous offseason.
That.
Like, the Warriors, I don't know. You can't say they've gotten better because right now they haven't made a move. We assume that Al Horford's going to sign and is going to, you know, be a part of this team next year.
Yeah.
He makes them better. Although I heard earlier today with Joe and Sammy was in for Shasky.
Sammy!
Horford doesn't play back-to-back, so you're going to have to figure out 20 or 30 games a year. I don't know if you can say the Warriors, number one, have gotten better. And again, they're stuck. They can't do anything. But the issue that I'm beginning to have, or the concern that I'm beginning to have, Goo, is I don't know if I can say they haven't gotten worse. Has anybody asked that question? I know that other teams have gotten better, and that's something you can't control. You can't control KD going to Houston, and we'll get to this seven-team cockamamie trade.
It won't die. Go ahead.
Well, it finally did, and thank God, because it's the most overblown thing I've ever seen. But San Antonio is going to get better. OKC's still there. All the teams this offseason that you would label as improving, I understand the Warriors can do nothing about that. That's out of their control. But I don't know if they have not only gotten better, I don't know if they haven't gotten worse. Like, that's a concern for me.
No, I hear you loud and clear.
It's one thing to watch other teams take a step forward. It's another thing to watch your team take a step back.
No, and people scoffing at the Pelicans. I think they've gotten better, and teams are going to be better if they get better health just out the chute. I'll ask you this, Evan. Kevon Looney, I keep going to Loon Dog. How big of a hit to you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how big of a hit is that to you in regard to Warriors replacing him?
Looney?
Is that a 2? To me, it's a 7.5, possible 8.
An 8?
Yes.
Well, he didn't really play much last year.
But that was by choice, and I feel like sometimes that was the wrong choice. But the fact that you always had him whenever you wanted him, he was your Geico, he showed up. But not to have that, and think QP3 and Post can handle it if there is no Horford, that's why it's a little higher up there for me until we find out what's going on if Horford's coming. Horford comes, I'm like, nothing to see here. But just that alone, I'm asking you, so much of nothing, Looney's departure.
If they get Horford, I think it's minimized because Horford is a consummate pro. He's a great locker room guy. I think he could... Not exactly. You can't replace a guy like Looney, who's been a staple in that locker room for a decade. But I think if you were going to replace it, the type of person and player that Horford is, is kind of the best you can do.
Yeah. Does a little dirty work. You know, Kevon Looney does. That's all he
does.
Well,
but he's also been in every situation and in every spot. He's been a national champion. He's been playing for now. I think this will be his 18th or 19th season. And he's someone the young guys can go to. No, I think Horford would be great. But we don't know yet. Like, we don't know what they're going to do because this blockade of Kuminga, it remains in the way.
What if I told you, and I mean this, E, to answer your question thoroughly, I need to find out and see this Kuminga thing play out. I need to know if he's a Warrior or not. And that, I don't know what Sacramento Kings are doing or trying to do, but I thought that offer was lightweight embarrassing. It wasn't just me saying that. It's like, do you really think the Warriors? That's when I said, okay, the Warriors aren't desperate here. It's not addition by subtraction. So, Evan, I'm just holding out until we find out if Jonathan Kuminga's in a Warrior uniform. And with offers like that that Sacramento was trying to illustrate, I'm like, man, just bring him back for a one-year deal. Like, does that sound ludicrous to you to try to get Kuminga and his agent or his representation to take one deal, come back, and then the cap will go up and maybe other teams in regard to Kuminga, other teams will be able to offer you more money, but maybe you have a balleristic type year and who knows, that contract might be from the Warriors.
I don't think it's out of the question for him to sign that qualifying offer. Like, he seems like such a confident dude that I wouldn't put it past him to bet on himself.
That's good news to me if you're
that,
right.
I think that actually would be the worst case scenario because it means he's setting up to leave in free agency next year, which means you would get nothing in return for him. Like, you can't trade him because he's only worth $7.9 million.
That's a good point.
And if he leaves as an unrestricted free agent, you also get nothing for him. The real reason why the Sacramento deal is, in one breath, disrespectful. Like, it was supposed to be Dario Šarić, Devin Carter, 2 second-round picks. Yes, it's disrespectful. But it's also because that's your only trade chip. Like, the Houston Rockets just dropped Cam Whitmore for a box of chocolates.
Man.
They sent him to Washington for 2 second-round picks. And while he's proven less in the league than Kuminga has, they're both projects at this point. They're both unknowns. But the Houston Rockets have, like, 3 or 4 other young guys that they're more invested in than him. The Warriors have no choice but at this point to be invested in Jonathan Kuminga because they don't have anything else worth value. And right now, I think that trade tells you exactly what the league thinks of him. He's not worth anything on the open market and certainly not more than he is worth right now as a trade chip in the future or maybe this summer to Golden State. You know, that's why they're stuck. But again, I do wonder what people think is the goal this offseason. Like, what is the goal for the Golden State Warriors? 888-957-9570. Let's open up the phone lines and go to Big Smooth in San Jose. What's up, Big Smooth? How you doing, man? Good morning.
Gentlemen. I don't know. I'm just listening. And first of all, thank you guys once again for the platform.
Back at
you. Listen, man. Yeah, I'm with you, Goo. Give me Al Horford at this point. Okay, Al. It's 10 minutes to 2. And the bartender called for the last call for alcohol.
Hey, look at him.
Al's looking better. Al's looking better. But listen, I don't know. Look, at this point, the goal for me, don't lose Kuminga for nothing, okay? Don't lose him for nothing. That Sacramento offer was laughable, very laughable. So at this point, we wait. You just got to wait. But here's what's available to me. GP2. Let's start looking at him because Chris Boucher is still out there from Toronto. They make very close to the same right now. I mean, listen, I thought about it. I said, have we seen the best from GP2? Maybe. Maybe we've seen the best he's going to be. If we've seen the best, I'd be willing to part with him for a Chris Boucher who can shoot, who's shooting like, I think he's shooting like 39% from the three. He's tall. You know, he played for the Warriors before.
Yep.
I'm saying, okay, Kuminga, we can't do anything right now, guys. We just got to wait this thing out. As a trade deadline, the goal is we cannot let him walk for nothing at this point. So let's focus on if he has to be here next year, so be it. You're going to play for us, and we're going to – you might not get that much playing time. That's just the reality. Because I know they're going – by the trade deadline, he won't be here, and we'll get another piece. We can't. Offers, we're a good team. We don't make panic trades like the one Sacramento. How dare you, Sacramento, offering us your garbage. We don't want that. That's a trash deal. To lose Kuminga and get Dario Saric? Are you kidding me? The other dude, Carter, he's averaged like 2.3 a game. That's laughable. But DP2, I hate to say it, but we may have already seen the best. Unless he comes back with a consistent jumper, then that might be worth keeping. But if we've already seen what he has, I think we could depart for GP2. We always love him, but I think we possibly have seen what he can do, and I think that we have to be honest about that. All right, y'all have a great one.
Hey, you too.
Thanks, Big Smooth. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I'm with him. I do think that in a perfect world, the Warriors and Gary Payton II would split. But this is the state of their offseason right now. Again, they're the only team that hasn't made a move. They've lost guys. Looney's left. GP2 is a free agent. They haven't been able to acquire a single service, through the NBA draft. You might be in a position where you're actually looking and you say, we need Gary Payton II. And that's what you've been resigned to.
Yeah, Evan, I'm being real. I think it's laughable that we sit up here and are kind of ushering GP2 out the door a little too quick for my blood. I mean, I'm going to ask you right now, who, if GP2 were to dip, who is your best on-ball defender? I only could come up with one guy. It should be Kuminga with his gifts. It's not. It would be Moses Moody. And that's still not enough. How are you going to play defense? And, Evan, I'm going to be real. I'm not throwing any shade at Jimmy Butler, but that was the one thing when he came here, I was like, man, he's not a bad defender, but he looked all his age. I was like, okay, defense is – he ain't Dark Knight. He ain't Batman-like, and maybe he'll be that this year. But are you so sure, Warriors, if you're to say night-night, because you've done this to GP2 and then you had to bring him back, and that was the right call when he went up to Portland, that ab injury. But Jesus, Evan, what hit does your defense take if you were to say night-night to Gary Payton II?
I mean, in a perfect world, you would have a young player ready to step up and take his spot.
But you don't.
You don't. You really don't. And that's why, again, it's kind of the state of things right now, but I'm not saying that Will Richard is like a guaranteed role player. He's going to be this, he's going to be that. My point is, the most exciting thing that's happened for the Warriors this offseason so far is Will Richard scoring 16 points in his summer league debut on Sunday.
Pods at the Valkyries.
That doesn't Although there was an SF Chronicle article that was written about.
I read it.
I mean, you might as well call him the mascot.
I got you.
I think it was the headline. The headline was like, Pajemski embracing big brother mentality with the Golden State Valkyries. And look, I love it.
Yeah.
We do need more people like that. But it's just been a little much for me. I'm going to be honest.
I know. I'm just pointing it out. But Evan, everything you're saying is spot on. And let's just say this. It's like when you go to a doctor appointment to get your test results. You know, you're nervous. You're uncomfortable. I don't like where the Warriors are at because this is being drawn out. And I'm saying I like Boucher from Toronto. He can shoot. If you were to get him, I'm just saying, I know what, 32 years old or whatever, 30, 32. I like his game. Horford can shoot it too, and Horford's played big-time basketball. But I am keeping it real. I think they are Calipari's left and right when you talk about the Warriors. What is next year, and then we'll worry about the year after until the big three are out of here, or the big two. So I say that to say is I want Kuminga in a Warrior uniform because I don't think you could get anything good enough or remotely close enough to his explosiveness.
But I think you hit the nail on the head. You didn't say you want him in a uniform because you think he's going to blossom. You didn't say you want him in a Warriors uniform because you expect him to be here for a long time and to be a cornerstone piece. You said, and I'm 100% with you, you want him here because you can't get something better. And at this point, the better is better than Dario Saric, Devin Carter, and 2 second-round picks.
Man.
That's what the league is telling you that Kuminga is worth right now because there's no reason to offer anything more. Like, teams... I know that it is disrespectful, and it is people are like, what? But people think that that's what he's worth? Yes, because the Warriors have literally dropped his value to the point where everyone is seeing what's going on here, and they're seeing that the Warriors are stuck, And they're seeing that Kuminga's got only one way out, and the Warriors don't really have much to work with. And they're saying, well, maybe we can just pluck this guy. Like, they offered the same, essentially, as what the Wizards got Cam Whitmore for.
See, and
that's his value right now on the market.
See, look, you're spot on. But, Evan, I feel like, and we knew this before Kuminga was in this situation, that there wasn't a lot of money. I scoffed at that, and I said, if you want to have some money, you can find the resources. But I'm just telling you this, and you tell me what you think. I'm not letting the market and other GMs and owners dictate to me how much Jonathan Kuminga or how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's buzzer luck. In regard to months before the season ended, the Bobby Marks of the world, people in the know were telling you there's not a lot of money to spend. So I know it looks like there's not a lot of people lining up for Jonathan Kuminga's services, and they're right. But I don't think it's because of what you just mentioned. They don't think he can play, and there's definitely, it looks like, not going to be an overpay. So if you're Kuminga's camp, couldn't you be like, you know what, let's just take this one on the chin. It is bad luck collectively. The cap's going up next year. I'm already hearing people talk about next year's free agent class compared to this one. Couldn't Kuminga just kind of bet on himself, get something more than the 7.5, that would be atrocious, and get something to come back, ball out, and then see what you're worth. Now, the one part of the formula I'm telling you to forget, and it's kind of hard, is the Warriors' perspective, because they would lose him for nothing. But as far as Kuminga getting what I feel like he deserves, Evan, have you let this lack of market dictate to you or change your view on how good Kuminga is?
No, I think he's still a fine player, and I don't know what he is, honestly. That's probably the biggest issue, and I don't think a lot of teams know what he is. But the problem, like, can we put the rat on the table brought to you by Atco Pest
Control? Let's do it.
If the Warriors were going to trade him, they should have done it already. You're at the point now where you almost have to keep him.
That's what I want.
And it's because you're trying to move off him in the future. You're trying to recoup some value. If you really were going to trade him, you should have done it already. They're at this point where they're stuck because they didn't have either the guts or the offer out there that they felt like was worth Kuminga to pull the trigger for. And that's why they're stuck. And to me, this is less about JK than it is about the Warriors. Mm. Like, the Warriors have put themselves in this position because of either how this guy's been handled, their lack of a quick draw to pull off a trade in the past. And that's why they're staring at this kid right now, and they're saying, well, this is what we have to offer you. Take it or leave it. And he's saying, okay, well, I can actually potentially just bet on myself. And the only real leverage he has is to do what he's doing right now, which is holding up their entire summer.
Yeah. And I hate when you put it that way, but it looks like you're right, Evan. But I'm like, what does he gain by doing that if he was just being, what's the word, petty? Shout out Richard.
Well, they do have a petty king on their team, and everybody seems to love him.
That's a four.
That's it. That's Steph Curry. All right, Evan's in for Steiny alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. What's the goal this offseason? What do people want at this point? The Warriors are the only team that have yet to make a move, and it's because they're stuck. What do people want from them? I also got something about the NBA that's been kind of ticking me off, and it involves the Warriors, along with six other teams. And we'll get to that. We will definitely get to that. And we'll also, get into some Giants. I got to talk about their All-Stars. But again, right now, what's the goal? 888-957-9570. Back after this on 95.7 The Game.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.